You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Take one.
Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Hi, listeners. It's Stephen and Dana here with In the Room with Stephen and Dana.
So what is this podcast episode? Because we, famously do not have a guest today.
Yeah, you're just getting us. And Dana and I thought as the transition out of our homes picks up, we thought we'd pay tribute to all the television that kept us going these last 18 months.
Our digital babysitter.
Where theater could not. You know, we have to tip our hat to our tube brethren.
Yep. And I certainly watched a lot of TV. I normally watch a lot of TV. So,
and maybe historically, like a rising number of stage actors on television because there's no stage work.
Historically, or because it pays more.
And or.
Listen, let's be real.
And or.
I would love to talk about all of that.
I feel like, I know that you watched the Megan Mullally talk show, both episodes that existed.
Are you talking about like in 2005?
Yeah, sure am.
Yeah.
And she came on one day and she had a little opening number and it was called TiVo is My Wingman. And it was a patter song. And she was like, I got a satellite, a cable box, a VCR and DVR, a television in every room, and even one behind the bar. And then she goes into a pattery listing every television show in history. You got to look it up. It's great.
I've never heard of this. And actually, I did not watch that show because there was a lot that I missed and I have to talk about it here too, but when I was in college, I did not watch a lot of TV.
Because dorms and TV and what time do you have? And
I had rehearsal.
What college is about.
That's right. So it was like that bumper sticker, I can't, I have rehearsal. So did not watch a lot of TV, and that premiered, I think also maybe during the summer. Like I was at Quiz Asana. We had no TV. There was a large chunk of my life I did not have a TV. And I was living my life. But yeah, that's a niche pull. And I have find it.
Is it
on YouTube? Really,
yes. It's a great little patter song that made me laugh as a kid and makes me laugh today. Because you know I love a lyric. I love lots of words.
I would love to recreate that. I would love to do that.
I would too. Let's do it at the duplex.
I was going to say, there's got to be a venue.
But really, I think that opening number has stuck in my head because it made watching TV not like a bad thing. There was such a stigma when you were a kid, like don't watch too much TV. And this was a whole number.
Not where I'm from.
About, look at all the TV I've watched and like all the knowledge I can pull from it. So,
look at you in your notebook.
In the spirit of things.
We prepare 0% for any other interview, and now for the TV episode, which we can just talk about without notes. We have notes.
I separated the old shows that I watched during COVID that I've rewatched or maybe old shows that are new to me, but not new to the TV guide.
Okay.
And also like the new shows, the new shows that are happening right now that a lot of us have watched.
Sure. Over these start wherever you'd like to
past
start.
Months. Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like we have to start with perhaps the largest common ground we've ever found. Hacks.
Oh, yes. I enjoyed. I watched every episode thrice. I will be watching them more.
Television. It's not TV. It's HBO. First of all, HBO Max. Really, really stellar programming.
Yeah.
They win it. Really good streaming service.
Hacks. I remember seeing the advertisement, you know, the little trailer.
The sequin suit.
Yes. And I remember thinking, oh my God, who are the minds that made this? And I need to be friends with them. I need to get to know them. I need to know where they came from. And obviously they're gay.
And then also, just by looking at it, the first question we both have is who wrote it?
Yeah. And then also the casting of Jean Smart was not obvious.
But very smart.
But so smart. And it got me excited. And I was like, oh my God, I think I've been sleeping on Jean Smart. Like, I know that she's incredible. I love seeing her. But Hacks really turned it around for me. And now I'm so deep in Jean Smart land that the FBI should be alerted.
Can I tell you how much crossover on this list is Jean Smart?
Yeah, tell me. Tell me everything.
Oh, we've watched Designing Women.
Yep.
We watched her Who Do You Think You Are on Discovery Plus.
Yes, also, you're welcome.
Before we get too deep into it, listeners, there will be spoiler alerts.
Oh, sure.
So if we start talking about something you're unfamiliar with, go ahead and use that 15-second repeat. I mean, fast forward. Dorcas Whore. If you're not watching Who Do You Think You Are in Discovery Plus, which is both like new and old. I think the newest episodes are 2018 and the oldest are earlier.
Yeah.
But it's celebrities doing Ancestry.com, but with a budget. So the show sends them to Ireland or England or wherever. And these celebrities learn about their ancestors. The last one we watched was Regina King.
Nice.
It was a good one. Good one.
Well, you mentioned Dorcas Whore, who is, you know, the ancestor of Jean Smart, who happened to be part of the Salem witch trials. Like,
not
right
a witch.
Not a witch, but right before.
Barely escaped.
Being
burned.
Yeah.
Days.
She was like one of the last to live.
She was next on the block.
Yeah.
As they say on Big Brother, another new show I'm watching.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great episode. And she's like, oh my gosh, I come from fierce women and I wish my mom was here. And it's real cute.
Hers was cute. Because listen, this show has a mixture of like celebrity who's doing it because they're a celebrity and why not? But maybe they hadn't prior to booking this gig. Had a deep-rooted interest in their family trees. So you see them kind of get into it.
Yeah.
And then you see the people like Elfrey Woodard and Jean Smart who are like, of course, like this is important. This is more important than a
series. They get emotional in real
Elfrey
ways.
Elfrey Woodard took her shoes off and walked the dirt of the land of her people and picked it up. And she spoke to, like, I haven't arrived if I haven't felt the actual soil with my actual feet.
Oh my God. Yeah. All I care about are celebrity autobiographies. So like this is a show that is in my cellular makeup. I love that stuff.
It's great. And then I will say Courtney Cox has a good episode only because it goes so far back.
Really? Is it like Jesus?
No. I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay,
if you had seen it, I'd spoil it for the listeners. But it does go deep.
Well, and let's thank the executive producer, Lisa Kudrow, of that show, because...
Lisa Kudrow.
So well done. And Lisa Kudrow, as we talk about television, she's in my coven.
Yes. I've rewatched her during COVID. I did Scandal beginning to end for the first time since its original
airing. Never seen it.
Airing. Listen, any kind of work I have had in the last 18 months has been from my couch. So something's always on.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Let's be real. Let's continue with Jean Smart, though. You, yes, you mentioned designing. You mentioned designing women. I too have started from the beginning, and I was not a Jean Smart fan. I watched Designing Women when I was little, when I was a little baby. Mm-hmm. I didn't it premiere in like 1986 or something. I was two, so I was all about those dark-haired ladies, the sugar bakers, the Delta Burke and Dixie Carter. I could not tell you like a sexier pair of, you know, TV sisters. Yes. I can't even handle them, but Jean Smart is. I mean, she truly – I'm so glad she didn't get pigeonholed into like being that kind of Rose Nylund character forever.
Agreed.
I'm glad that she actually kind of left Designing Women. And was like, actually, my contract's up, and I'm an actor, and I'd like to act. And she did the Eileen Wuornos movie on Lifetime or something way before Charlize Theron did it.
She's kind of like Judith Light in that way, I feel.
Yes.
Like, Judith Light will do the work, and she'll be brilliant, and then she'll go do something else, and maybe it's great, and maybe it's not. She talked about this on, I think, Alec Baldwin's podcast. Mm. She like talked about the worst movie she ever made, and it was still a great time, and she learned a lot. And
oh, I love that kind of person. I love that kind of person.
They just want to work.
They just want to work.
Just wants to work.
Jean Smart doesn't have an Instagram. I mean, she does, but she doesn't post anything. But she wants to work. She's not about being. She is so square, you know, to the outside world.
She's Christmas on the square.
Well, she's Christmas on the square. We do not see her at like. She's not in the, you know what I mean? She's not in the Us Weekly. Stars are just like us, Jean Smart. Who cares? It's so square.
I've been wanting to draw Jean Smart, and Google imaging Jean Smart, not so fun.
I mean, it's few and far between. She's got her friends who are, you know,
probably not super famous. We'll never know.
So they are such a tight-knit group of people and, you know, playwrights, and you can just tell she's all about the work.
So
I'm
cool.
So glad she's having her
this
big
renaissance
where she is.
Because Mare of
Easttown
too.
Yes. Yeah.
She's so brill on it. Yeah. Which I think Mare started a couple weeks before Hacks. So I think I got a little bit into Mare and was like, oh yeah, Jean's smart.
You might be right. You might be right.
And then Hacks happened, which I don't think is necessarily an accident.
No. And it's actually, they don't,
they got
compete
us
compete with each other.
None.
Zero. It's almost like two different
so
Jean
lost.
Smiths.
She gets so lost in her character in Mare, and it's so not about her.
No.
She's set dressing with an attitude.
Yes. Here's what I thought of last night about Jean Smart, and I'm thinking about her constantly. I just hope she's okay, and she's...
I know you are.
She's great. So I thought Hacks is where she's a top, meaning... She's played all these other roles where she's like a bottom. She's like a very vulnerable, like woman, you know, kind of down on their luck, divorcees.
She receives and reacts.
Yes. But in Hacks, she is throwing you up against the wall. She is giving. She don't care. I mean, it is the pièce de résistance. Yes. She's holding the leash. No, but she's so great. She's so great. Guess who followed me on Instagram? You'll never guess. You'll never guess. But
I'll
it's a Brady movie.
Eve Plum.
Nope. Jennifer Elise Cox, who plays Jan in the Brady movie and who has a great cameo in Will and Grace. She followed me and I'm very happy about it.
Has a great cameo in Will and Grace. And sort of Eve Plum.
Maybe she'll do the podcast. Maybe I'll reach out.
Do we think she and Eve Plum will do the podcast together?
Ryan O'Connor would explode. Okay, so we're done with Designing Women. She was not my favorite, Jean Smart, but now I'm really focusing in and paying my respects to Charlene.
When I started from the beginning, I didn't realize that the night the lights went out in Georgia is
Georgia?
episode two.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty.
Episode two.
Julia Sugarbaker's massive monologue comes
there
very early.
There is one other show in television history that has had me so hooked on episode two, and it's Superstore.
I knew you were going to say Superstore. What about Sex and the City? Was that a slow burn for you or what?
It wasn't a slow burn, but I didn't watch that in real time.
I see.
So, you know, but as an adult, having mm-hmm. seen Sex and the City, my jumping in point, season three, episode one.
Yeah.
Natalie would agree. Seasons one and two, we love them. They're important. They're crucial. But when I just need it on in the background, I can't have them talking straight to the camera.
Oh, I see.
That device didn't work on that show, and I prefer to skip.
So back to Jean Smart. I have started season five of the television program 24, because that's the season Jean Smart is in.
Great.
And she is off her rocker in that. It's so fun to see her play. She plays the first lady, and she takes medication, or maybe should. It's a great, juicy role. It's real fun.
I'll have to do it. I've never done 24.
I really dived into Samantha Who.
I saw your post about it. I've never watched.
Melissa McCarthy is in it. Jennifer Esposito is in it. Jean Smart plays Christina Applegate's mom in it. It is so good. It holds up. It's 2007 fashion.
Completely miss my desk.
At 2007, I was a junior in college. And I was busy. Also, I was not a Christina Applegate fan at that point. Now, Dead to Me is what really turned me around on that, because she's so good. She's so good in it. Oh, and add it to your list.
The fact that there's still more TV for me to watch.
I know. We are in the golden age, babe.
Frightening.
TV is theater. Let's just be real. Is there something that you tried to watch but couldn't really get into?
Well, there's a couple things I started to watch and then stopped, not because I wasn't into them, but because it was just wrong thing, wrong time. I tried to watch Tremé on HBO.
Same.
My gal Bessie is on it, but wrong time. Wasn't the right time to watch post-Katrina New Orleans.
Yeah, you really have to be in a mood.
It didn't sit right for the moment. So I want to do that. I will do that, but not right now. And then I did about half of the series Hung, because Alana Ubach was on it. One of my favorite character actresses.
Wait, is she the one in Meet the Fockers?
Yes. She's in Legally Blonde. Both of them. She is in Sister Act 2. She's the one who doesn't know Mary Had a Little Lamb. Maybe where Maria comes from. Mary had a dog, or a little kitty cat, or a little bald-headed brother named Bart.
What was she in? She was in Clock Watchers, the movie. And
she's incredible
in
everything
Kudrow, I think.
She touches.
Yeah. I have to Google her all the time because I'm like, who is this? Oh, it's the same
Alana
person.
Ubach.
I keep Googling. Oh, she's
it's
so
always
funny.
Alana Ubach.
She's so funny. The way she works her mouth when she...
Her hard R's.
Her hard R's. I love it. I tried to watch WandaVision. Can't do it.
Really? We
love. Really can't do it.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm not a Marvel or any of that kind of, don't get it. I don't get the inside jokes. I don't understand what has already been, what everyone knows already. I just don't get it.
I also did not get
Watchmen.
I didn't watch Watchmen. I watched WandaVision. John likes the Marvel stuff.
Interesting.
So I think if I had watched WandaVision by myself, not knowing everything I don't know, I would be in your boat, but having somebody
enjoying it
around me was helpful, and he could explain what was crucial, and I understood what was happening, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we touched on it, but Mare of Easttown, have you finished it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God bless Kate Winslet. God bless, what's her face? She plays Kate Winslet's friend. Lick my ass, Diane.
Julianne Nicholson.
Thank you.
Is that her name? Yes.
Thank you, it
she
is.
She should win something because she
every prize
delivers one of the most really raw emotional scenes. I think it's at the end, one of the final episodes mm-hmm. that I've ever seen. I was wrecked.
She's remarkable in everything she touches, but particularly Mare of Easttown.
Yeah.
Really, her performance moved me. Her performance moved me. They all did, Kate moved me. And What's-His-Face, who I know from all the American Horror Stories, but...
Oh, Evan Peters. I never knew him from
anything outside of American Horror Story, where he's always very great, but it was really cool to see him out of that world and steal the show.
There's a scene in a bar with Evan Peters, and I think he's always great, but I'm never like an Evan Peters stan. But that really, I was like, oh, you're playing drunk as an actor is a really fine line between playing drunk and playing not wanting people to know that you're drunk, which is what drunk people actually do. They try to act as sober as possible.
Right.
And it's like, no, you're actually drunk. So it's really hard to make that really work, but I thought he did a great job.
I read an article just about that scene.
And oh, really?
Yeah, kind of when it happened. And it was cool that he talked about it. And I think that was the point in the script when he was reading. He was like, I don't know if I can do this part.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's like, tough.
Really, really cool. Really cool to watch him do that and be so great.
Yeah. Good job, Evan Peters. We love you.
I loved Mare of Easttown. I really did.
I mean, it's fun to make fun of it because of the accent and, you know.
Which...
It's so good, though.
It's so good. And that she had never been to a Wawa, and she went to one, and she was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. I mean, watch Mare of Easttown, and then watch the SNL, the Murder Dirter sketch. It's just really a nice double feature, if you will.
If I may move on.
I guess. I mean, I have more Jean Smart, but that'll come up naturally later.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
I can
work her into anything.
This whole episode is dedicated to Jean Smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jean Smart appears in our minds on shows that she's not on.
Yep.
Jean Smart is 100% in White Lotus.
Oh, somewhere. Spiritually she's there.
She's the mom in the bag. She's the ashes. Yeah. She's Jennifer Coolidge's borderline personality disorder mom.
Again, HBO Max. Can we just, this is a natural progression to White Lotus.
Every time Jennifer Coolidge comes on screen, I scream Emmy.
Yeah, yeah. And Stephen, guess what? Mike White wrote that part for her, and she was like deep into quarantine, you know, bags of chips, cake. She's like, I've never been like my most unfit.
Less TV ready.
Not TV ready, right? I am so glad she said yes. She is, I think she's luminous. She is so sexy. I'm like, is she sexy? She's sexy.
Because she's not doing the Jennifer Coolidge caricature.
Right, right, right. The thing that we know her
she's
for.
She's not doing Paulette.
Right, right.
There's signs of it because it's who Jennifer Coolidge is.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing work. We're seeing character development.
Yeah, we're seeing you are an actor, girl. You're an actor.
Nothing
girl.
Makes me happier when the Jennifer Coolidges, when the Melissa McCarthy's, when the Sandra Bullocks, they get a chance to actually act.
When Melissa McCarthy
got to do Lee Israel.
Yes.
And not be
Melissa
McCarthy, which God bless. I need Melissa McCarthy in my life at all times, but when she got to be an actress.
Yeah.
What a joy to watch.
Yeah. No, that's one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite things. But I love when people have really cemented themselves and who they are as a, like, oh, that's, I need a Melissa McCarthy for this role. When it's like, you are a comedian and we know what you can do and you're a clown. No one can do it better than you. And then we are surprised by this next choice.
Mm-hmm. She has a new thing on Hulu coming out that looks like it may be another surprise Melissa McCarthy role. And I agree, Jane Lynch, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Her on Good Fight. Jane Lynch, anytime she's on Good Fight with the fucking birds flying into her window.
Can we talk about Good Fight? I started the Good Fight.
Did I ruin something for you?
No. I've gotten to the Jane Lynch part. But I started season two where Audra McDonald, theater queen, is in it. Christine Bransky, theater queen. Sarah Steele, theater queen. I mean, there are so many people who are in it that are like, you are New York.
And it keeps this is going. For us. I mean, the whole first season, Bernadette Peters and Christine Bransky and again, all the people, Brenda Braxton working in the law firm.
Bernadette is great.
Here's why we slept on The Good Fight. It was why? On CB. It was a CBS All Access original content. So it was never on TV and you had to pay for CBS All Access.
Yeah, I never had CBS All Access.
And as somebody who watched zero CBS content since Brady Bunch, I'm not paying for it. I'm sorry. I want to watch it, but I can't. We got Paramount Plus, and all of a sudden it was unlocked.
Same.
So I got to binge it. And it was like watching a Broadway show.
Good.
It was a visit from every, and continues to be a visit from, there is not one episode. I skip the credits because I don't want to know who's coming on. So I always skip them. And it, every episode, I just.
They have great credits too. Those
grab
opening
my
credits.
Heart.
I would like to propose a toast to Christine Bransky. I haven't slept on Christine Bransky. She's one of my favorite character women of all time. Anything she does is gold.
Adam's Family Values.
She's also another one who is like, I'm going to go raise my family and I'm an actor and I'm going to make all the choices I want. And guess what? Not unlike Jean Smart, Christine Bransky was also married to an actor who took the back seat as their wives' careers took off. Mm-hmm. And that is why we know Christine Bransky. That is why we know Jean Smart, because their husbands recognized, respected, loved, adored. And
we're fans of.
We're fans of.
They want
of.
Them to work so they can go see it.
I know at least Christine Baranski's talked about it, that she was able to have such a stellar, varied, consistent career because her husband was at home to take care of the kids when she had to, you know, go do a Broadway play. Or
there was a great article about her recently about how she's defying every odd because... You know, she talked about she didn't really start working until her 30s. She
wasn't
booking
Sybil.
Roles.
Yeah, Sybil
and
was huge.
And then she didn't start getting leads in musicals until way late.
Yeah.
And now here she is at pinnacle.
Yeah.
When she should not be at her pinnacle.
65-plus-year-old women are above the title, and I am so here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's learn a lesson. This is what
and
people want.
Like, Kate Winslet is helping blaze that trail too. Like she has that whole thing. She's like, I do not accept roles at this point in my career where there is an unrealistic standard of beauty attached. I won't do it. I'm not putting my body through that. I'm not mirroring that to other women. And it's because of choices like that, that more and more roles for more and more women over 40 will be written.
Yeah. But back to White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
I have so much more to say about White Lotus.
Oh.
Again,
Connie
what's
Britton.
Her face? Connie Britton. Oh, I have to watch that show. It's a good show to watch a little stoned because it is from the mind
Lotus.
Of Mike. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mind of Mike White, who gave us School of Rock, who gave us the Laura Dern vehicle, Enlightened, also on HBO. He is very layered. He's very... into character development. It's very much about interpersonal dynamics and psychiatry, you know, like how are these people interacting with each other? So I love his writing, and it gets a little weird.
I love the
soundtrack is great. There's like
it's great. The credits, the opening credits. Now those I don't skip.
It's beautiful. White Lotus is beautiful.
The character of Connie Britton's daughter and her friend.
Yeah.
Those two, I love those characters.
Yeah.
I love them.
They're a little scary.
I love that they're not just basic rich girls.
Yeah.
They're still basic. They're still pretty basic. But like that they're reading Freud.
Yeah, I'm trying not to.
And taking K. And
yeah,
like, you really can do it all.
And I think Mike White was kind of challenged to write something for quarantine purposes. Like, they filmed it in quarantine. So keep that in mind when you watch it.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I kind of hope it becomes, you know, multiple seasons, and just every season it's a new group at the White Lotus. I hope the only things that are consistent are the White Lotus and those who work there. I know that that means a lot of other things, but
yeah,
you know, kind of just rotate that hotel. Let the hotel be the main character.
Again, with Jennifer Coolidge, I love when a character is so vulnerable and so she's heartbreaking in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching her and I'm just like, oh, I feel for you, but you're just kind of an open wound.
And you see and how everyone looks at her and you're just like.
But she's so beautiful.
You want to put your little heart back together.
I know. I just want her to find love.
Event television.
Again, White Lotus was event. Hacks was an event. You know, we're going to come over Sunday night and watch it. Hacks, I do have to say that new to cast Jean Smart.
It was like, less is more.
God bless you. And one of my favorite new comedians wrote episode 7. Pat Regan has his first writing credit, and I'm so happy about it. I love him so much.
Incredible.
And yeah, Julie Klausner is a consulting producer. Bowen Yang is a consulting producer. It's just the people who get it are on the team, which makes me feel like I want a million seasons. You guys are doing it so well. I followed the cinematographer on Instagram. Like, they're posting beautiful shots of when they were making it. And every frame, all the costumes, the sets. Yeah. Everything is a postcard, you know? So well done.
Greetings from Hacks.
Jen Statsky, Lucia Aniello? Lucia Aniello? I don't know. You can Google it. They're great. Those are the creators. And Paul W. Downs. They are a match made in heaven. How do you feel about Hannah Einbinder?
I feel great about her. How do you feel about her?
Great. Oh, she's like kind of a polarizing character on the show. So I didn't know if you had any.
Oh, I thought you just meant as like casting.
I mean that too.
I think they work really well together. I think that their dynamic is nailing it. I think that because she's supposed to be 25, right? She reads older, which I think works.
She's supposed to be 25, yeah.
That's me having been a young assistant to older people. So yeah, when she goes down to that room that's just a shit show of an archive space and has to sort through everything.
Yeah.
I've been in that room. I've sorted through everything. I've watched everything. I've done that. So that was a very personal sense memory that show brought up specifically her. And I think I love their dynamic.
Yeah, I think she's. I think she's pretty
great.
Her
character's the fucking worst. If I ever met that girl in real life, I'd kill her. But
yeah, I love that there's an arc. I love that she's growing.
Yes.
I love that she was polarizing. Like, oh, why is she being kept around?
They filmed that funeral scene right after Jean Smart's husband died.
Yeah. So her husband died.
She had to go be funny
in real life. Yeah, during
in a funeral scene.
Filming. I can't believe it.
But I do love, in one of the articles I read, I love that, you know, she talks about how sad she is that he wasn't here to see Hacks, but that he got to read the script and that he loved the script.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
knew that he died knowing what she was going to do and that it was going to be great. Warms my heart in...
I'm literally going to cry right now and I don't even know them. Okay, so his name is Richard Gilliland and they met on the set of Designing Women. In the first season, he played Annie Potts' boyfriend. Isn't that beautiful?
God bless Annie Potts.
You can watch them fall in love. Designing Women on Hulu.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I would like to take this opportunity, Stephen, to invite you to see Hannah Einbinder with me in November.
Yeah.
I bought tickets and we're going to go.
Great. Thank you.
I think it's November 5th.
Great.
But it's going to be in Brooklyn. Everyone will be there. I also need to give a shout out to my girl Meg Stalter, who's and is giving you the weirdest. I mean, what she does again.
Her Instagram is the weirdest, queerest, outest, loudest,
the most bizarre.
Just be who you want to be.
Leaning in, weirdo of all time, genius at improv. Genius.
That video in quarantine, her and Kathy and Jimmy improving.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Lives in my head.
Kathy sans is such a rent. Huge fan. Huge fan. So yeah, Meg Stalter, big old part for her, and it's really fun. And again, I think not unlike Melissa McCarthy, she's giving you what Meg Stalter will be known for and what she does. But she's going to give us a really tender acting moment in something at some point, and we're going to be like, oh, and she can do that too.
She's real cool.
She's real cool.
Real cool. I'm just going through my list. So we did that. Some oldies that I've rewatched that we don't really need to hash out as much because they're so old. But, okay, so I did Oz. That was one of the first things I did, which I get is dark. But I knew I needed an HBO moment.
Oz, I've never seen.
I was drawn in by the Rita Moreno moment.
Okay.
I wanted to see how she operated in that world.
Okay.
Obviously, I love a Christopher Maloney moment.
Yes.
I knew that Joel Grey had Oz under his belt, and I had never seen him on it. So I wanted to do that.
Amazed.
To feel better about myself. Betty Buckley, Patti LuPone, all on Oz.
Look at you doing your theater research.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of, you know, it was filmed here. It was a lot of New York stuff. And looking at those credits, Tom Fontana. Great show. It's a great show. It's dark and it's heavy and it's a lot. I would watch it first thing in the morning. but it's really, I get why it was such a big deal. I get why I didn't get it when it was on. I get why it's the epitome of HBO.
You know, those big HBO tent poles. I need to do
the
Oz.
The things that make, it's not TV, the Sopranos. It's HBO makes yeah. sense. It's The Sopranos.
I think I saw season one of The Sopranos, but I need to do a literal, actual watch.
I do too. I've wanted to do it from the beginning. So I did Oz. I did Desperate Housewives, top to bottom.
Wow.
So stupid. But again, that's one I did watch in real time. Like in high school into college, and I had friends here in the city, and we'd meet up every Sunday night and watch together. So there's a lot of nostalgia with that show, but boy, is it problematic, and boy, is it ridiculous.
Oh, sure.
And boy, is it bad for women, and
oh, God.
Boy, is it fun to watch knowing that it's not okay anymore, that we couldn't get away with it now, and we did then, and oops on us. Let's also remind everyone that this Mark Cherry creation is the reason we have any Real Housewives, all from Desperate Housewives. Every episode title of Desperate Housewives is a Stephen Sondheim lyric. Fierce guest stars, Vanessa Williams. I love Desperate Housewives.
Harriet Harris.
Harriet Harris, Terry Hatch, and ABC Darling. What else? Brothers and Sisters. Rewatch Brothers and Sisters. A Sally Field, big family. She's the matriarch. That would come on after Desperate Housewives on Sunday nights.
Did you watch that in real time? Because I did.
I did not watch Brothers and Sisters.
I was Team Brothers and Sisters.
Time.
It was so awesome. I think it was it Brothers and Sisters and then Parenthood? Because they tried to make these huge family dramedies. On prime
Parenthood
time.
Was NBC.
Yes.
So I think that they were running probably around the same time. But Parenthood is the NBC version. ABC will go darker than NBC will.
Oh, interesting. Because after Parenthood ended, everyone was like, what's the next big family thing? And like then This Is Us came up. So, you know.
God bless.
Don't.
I find that
fix
ABC
it if it ain't
will
broken.
Go darker, and if they could use bad language, they would. I feel like NBC still leans a little shinier, a little glossier, a little more family-friendly. I think that's it for my scripted TV shows.
Scripted?
Yeah.
I mostly watch scripted. I would like to add, Girls 5 Eva. On Peacock?
It's on my list. Haven't done it because I don't have Peacock.
It is fantastic. Can
Might
I give you my
login?
Password? Yeah.
You can.
Does that work? Okay.
It does.
Remind me.
Thank you.
Remind me. Girls 5 Eva is fantastic. I'll wait till
Pen
15 is
on my list too, and I haven't done it yet.
Pen 15 should win all the awards. It's the most locked into that growing up experience that I've ever witnessed. It's gorgeous. It's so funny.
Good. It
it's
looks
on
great.
A cellular level,
no
you'll
doubt.
Be like, I don't know how they are capturing what that felt like. As a girl growing up in the 90s, they are nailing it. Nailing it.
As
so
a,
funny.
As a homo who didn't know it in the 90s, I have a feeling there's a little more crossover than one might expect.
100%. And I also want to give a shout out to Dave, which is
the movie
on
with
Hulu.
Kevin Klein and
nope.
Sigourney Weaves.
No. Dave, it's on Hulu through FX. It was on FX. It's real good. It's about a white Jewish rapper named Lil Dicky. And and his trials and tribulations. I love it. It's really good.
His trials and tribulations. I know I've left things off this list, but Unorthodox on Netflix was something I did.
Yeah.
I loved.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Weird and deep and real, yeah. unfortunately. And
Oh, wait. Nope, I'm talking about My Unorthodox Life on Netflix, which is a reality show.
We watched the trailer of that, though, and it seems wild, which is a great segue to an unscripted show that I watch on Discovery Plus. I watch Smothered. I also watch Extreme Sisters, which is kind of under the same umbrella. We had a lot of time on our hands, and we ran out of 90 Day Fiancés. So, recommended for you, Smothered, which is...
So what is it about?
Watching mothers and sons, or mothers and daughters,
okay,
whose relationship is way too close. So oftentimes, the son or daughter is married, but the mom still comes first, and the husband is the third wheel in the marriage.
Oh, that's
it's
weird.
It's trash. It's weird. Listen, Extreme Sisters is even weirder. It's mostly twins, but not all of them. And
Extreme
they are
sisters.
Way too close. Some of them still sleep in the same bed. Some of them are obsessed with being twins, that when they have their cereal in the morning, they count and make sure they have the same number of cereals in their bowls.
You know what? I
one
like watching TLC.
One of them has an infected tooth.
No.
And has to have it removed. And the other one is panicking because the doctor says that he won't remove her healthy same tooth so that their teeth are the same.
Okay.
And they share a boyfriend.
Oh, nope. Oh, are those the plastic surgery twins?
Nope, not Darcy and Stacy.
Okay.
That's their own show that I watch.
I can't with that. I can't.
Listen, it happened. It was a quick spiral, and it's all 90 Day Fiancé's fault. And anybody who watches 90 Day Fiancé knows you can't just watch one. You have to watch them all.
Guess what I was watching this weekend because it was on because someone else was watching it. Love Island
comes on after Big Brother, which I'm watching my first season of ever right now. I had never seen it, and we were going to watch one because now we have Paramount Plus. So we were going to watch one, and John was looking at him and he goes, there's a new season starting tonight. So we're watching in real time, watching the live cams. But I think after this one, we'll go back and we'll watch Marissa's episode of Marissa's season of Celebrity Big Brother, because they're doing so many things different this season. There are teams involved, so I'm watching a very skewed version.
I think that would be my entry point, is a celebrity version of Survivor, a celebrity version of Big Brother, because I don't care about real people, because they all want to be reality stars.
It's a gamble. You don't know who you're getting. At least with that's what we did. We watched all the celebrity seasons of Worst Cooks in America.
Yeah.
Bridget Everett. LaToya Jackson.
What?
Not all on the same season. These are just celebrities that we've watched cook. Lonnie Love.
Okay.
It's
great. Google that.
We love watching the celebrities cook with Anne Burrell and Rachel Ray. Television has been such a saving grace. Again, I had that stigma as a kid. Not that we had like TV rules or a TV schedule. We weren't addicted to TV. We didn't need that kind of line drawn.
Yeah.
But there was definitely that, either in school or just our generation, of like, don't watch TV too much. Your eyes will go square. Don't watch TV too much. It means you're a couch potato.
Mm-hmm.
It will kill your brain cells. TV was just, you know, you can like your shows, but don't watch TV unless just to watch TV.
And was your mom like really strict about that? Or are you just talking in general?
I think I'm talking in general. I remember that like feeling and how it didn't apply to me, but also all I wanted to watch was like The OC and like Ina Garten and Felicity and...
Sure, you had your...
I had
your
a couple
pulls.
Of shows. I wanted to watch the My Appointment television.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. And reality shows weren't so much a thing when we were growing up. I'm not going to say there was zero, but
when I was a kid, there were zero.
When did Real World start? When did Survivor start? Mid-90s?
I don't know, but like The Osbournes was the first like family reality show.
Yeah, man, like those were...
Reality was not a thing when I was growing up.
So
it was more about TGIF and...
Yeah. Right, you had your day a week where you would watch three shows in a row.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to speak for myself, like our family, and I'm glad you brought this up. TV was very much for me, and it still remains to be, and why I chose to work in it and why I love it. It's a conversation starter. Everyone has a show that they like. So it's a common ground.
Right.
Like, not everyone reads books. Not everyone, you know, knows how to cook. Like, everyone has at least seen a TV show. So right. I can talk to you about that. It's it's like music, too, a little bit.
Yeah, I think what I understood about TV always was that it was a storytelling device.
Yeah.
Separate from theater, but equal to theater. Different.
And it also...
It was crossover.
Lets me know who you are a little bit. Like, what lights you up? What is your humor like? You know, I liked talking about it.
How to invest in characters versus people. So when I was very young, like, I was into the Woods because Bernadette Peters was in it. I was into Bernadette Peters. So whatever I watched, if she was in it, great. That's kind of how you find your things, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get a little older and it becomes, yes, I still want to see how this person that I love attacks this role. But something TV does that even movies don't do is spreads it out over such a period of time. We're almost getting to know these characters in real time, as opposed to meeting a character, getting invested in a character, and having resolution with that character in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
We get to live with a character for The Good Fight. It's been on for 5 years. I just caught up, so it's only been in my world for 6 months, but you can live with Christine Baranski once a week for 5 years in that same role and like watch her grow with it. Really cool. You don't get that in movies. You don't get that on stage. TV's alone in that.
There was something I think that was in our choir room that said, theater is life, film is art, television is furniture. And I was always so offended by that because I was like, yeah, I get the first two, but the bottom one, television is furniture, I don't agree.
Furniture
isn't
technically necessary, and I do feel that TV is necessary.
Yes.
You can live in a room without furniture. If it floats your boat, it floats your boat. And you can choose to not participate in TV. You can.
You could choose.
However, in my house, furniture is required, as is air conditioning.
We're a very TV-forward household.
And, you know, we've shed the shame of don't sit in front of the TV too long.
Well, it's also talking points. Like, it's how my family kind of, we laughed together. Mm-hmm. It was our theater. Like, we didn't live in New York. We lived in Wisconsin. So, like, we're not going to a comedy club. We're not going to,
you know.
It was
a window into another part of the world.
Absolutely. Like, this is how we get to have fun with each other and talk about what we liked. And we always had a show.
Yeah.
I can tell you every single year what our family show was.
Yeah.
You know, Home Improvement, Dinosaurs, Married with Children was our show. Like, The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Loved. So we have this shared history now of like reference points and
cool
different writers we loved and actors, but definitely TV more than film. I love movies, but I will always choose a TV show over a movie. Always.
I also think just now that everything's on a screen, we're always on a screen, the idea of the screen being the problem is highlighted that yes, the screen is the problem, but it's not TV. TV isn't the thing that like makes you a couch potato or makes your eyes go square. It's looking at a screen for 24 hours a day. Just whether it's television or work or this recording session or whatever.
Yeah. It's good to turn the TV off and go live your life and go see something in real life.
Though, it's not about whether it's TV or not. I think that's the myth that got debunked from my growing up experience of TV being useful, but don't get sucked in. It had nothing to do with TV or the programming. It had to do with screen time.
100%.
Computer time.
100%. What's your favorite old, like, maybe from the 70s TV show, like
I'm glad you brought
Mary
this
Tyler
up.
Moore.
I'm going to work a little backwards. I'm going to start in the late 80s. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, Amazon Prime added All in the Family and 227 to their catalog. And 227 is one of my top three favorite shows of all time.
I know this about you. Yeah. And I had never heard of it. It's Norman Lear.
It's remarkable. So to be able to, I've never seen it all chronologically. I've never seen it beginning to end in order. So being able to do that is fabulous. I do it every morning with my coffee. I start with a 227.
So that's your suggestion for our listeners of like where we're going to go back in time.
It
and it's available.
Up. It is all that sitcom TV needs to be. Sitcom TV today has become so overcomplicated, so oversaturated.
Really so produced.
It's overworked dough. Too much kneading. If you look at 227, they are simple stories. It's like the original run of Will and Grace. They're simple. Whoopsies, how did that happen? And then wackiness ensues, and 18 minutes later, we figured it out. And there's a good laugh and a good freeze frame, and then the credits roll over it. Like, that's all it needs to be. It makes me laugh out loud still. It's fabulous. All in the Family, we know it's problematic, is a series that I hold great nostalgia for. My grandpa loved it, so I watched those with him whenever I stayed at his house.
But again, another Norman Lear.
And I love Gene Stapleton, and I love those characters, and I love that time and all of that. And there was a lot of breakthrough television. For that time, it was breakthrough, So, again, I mean, when we watch TV that is no longer okay, I think that we're allowed to remember at the time when it was being created, was it being progressive or was it not being good? What I was saying about Desperate Housewives, like there's problems, and yes, it's not almost 100 years ago. It's less, you know, it's 10, but I there's still value in these shows, in these pieces of art, in this writing, in these works. They evolved into better versions of themselves in other incarnations.
I have to go work, but am I done? I think I'm done with my list for now.
Yeah, there's a couple things on here we didn't touch. Just real quick, any competition show that has to do with an art, like obviously Great British Bake Off or the glass blowing on Netflix or the pottery on HBO Max or the flower competition on Netflix, all those tent on your marks, get set, bake shows. We love watching them. We have code names for all of them because they're also nice a little high. So with Bake Off, it's a bake and bake. With the flower competition, it's a grass and grass.
Okay.
With the glass blowing, it's a bowl and blow.
Oh my God. So yours is like a schmoke and a pancake.
Yeah, the pottery is crepe a pot. And pot. A,
yep. Got it.
It's great. It's
so
great.
Stupid.
One of those before bed is just, it makes for a nice soft landing.
Stephen, where can people find you on Instagram? Well, and do you have anything to plug?
I am at Sferzy. I am at All Ink to That. I have my art to plug. Another thing I have to plug that has nothing to do with me, but does have to do with Christine Baranski. This is coming out tomorrow, right, Dana?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you're listening to this before 8 o'clock today on release day, it is not too late for you to go to townhall.org and get yourself a ticket to the virtual conversation that Christine Baranski is moderating between Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine in honor of James Lapine's new book, Putting It Together, How Stephen Sondheim and I Made Sunday in the Park with George. Joining Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine will be Bernadette Peters and Mandy Patinkin, all talking about Sunday in the Park with George. And this new book comes out tomorrow. I pre-ordered it a year and a half ago per my email receipt.
Honey,
I'm so excited to get it. I'm so excited. Did you know Christine Baranski was in the workshop of Sunday
I didn't.
In the Park? So
does she know Nancy
completely,
Opal?
Duh. It's not completely out of left field that she would be moderating this. I think it's going to be really cool, and I'm excited to read the book, arriving tomorrow by 11 p.m., according to the tracking. So I have nothing to do with that, but get a ticket to that, because it's going to be a really cool thing, I think. And then I have some art coming out tomorrow to commemorate the event.
Oh my god! Look at you. Yeah, I have nothing to plug.
Buy a thing.
I have nothing to plug yet.
Pin in Dana's plug. So you have nothing to plug.
And I have nobody can to follow plug you anywhere. Yet. You can follow me at Dana K. Craig on Instagram.
Aren't you Dana Kelly Craig on Instagram?
Yep, Dana Kelly Craig on Instagram. Thank you.
I have a small business to boost that's not my own.
Yeah.
I got a fabulous new candle. And it was, it's an arts hero candle specifically. So the money like goes into like supporting artists during this horrible time. It's We Light Home, Lance Horn of Club Cumming of New York fame, and his husband, they have a candle company that they started during COVID. And I finally got a candle. It's champagne. And what I love is I smelled it because I'm like, what does champagne smell like in a candle, right? So you smell it, and what it did the same thing to my nose that like champagne bubbles do. It just tickled my nose a little bit.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the candle smell does that. Not when it's lit, but when you like smell it. And I thought that was...
That's fun.
So how do you accomplish that? I was so impressed. So all their candles are like handmade and made locally here in New York, and... You can get them, and they smell really great. And We Light Home on Instagram. And I think their website is welighthome.com, but link in bio for sure.
Link in bio. I have a PSA for everyone. I'm on day 10 of, I think I'm back to like 95% better. But I got the summer cold, and I did get tested for COVID, and it was not that.
Good. I've known a lot of vaccinated people lately who have dealt with COVID, and yes, the vaccine did its job, and their symptoms were manageable, and they are alive and well, and they did not have to go to a hospital, but...
But if you're running around and going out to eat and bars and whatever, I mean, there's cold virus out there. If you do not want to get sick, just keep wearing a mask. Also with Delta, probably should just keep wearing a mask. Yeah.
I know it's uncomfortable. I was out all day yesterday and had the mask on, and don't miss summer with the mask, you know?
Yeah.
But
we're all going to get something. I'm sure of it.
The only thing worse than the mask outside is like a summer cold with the runny nose and the sweating. I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
I'm feeling so much better. I went to the Central Park Zoo this weekend.
It looked so cute.
So cute. I've never been. I think I've been around it. Like I've walked past it.
Yeah.
But I had never gone inside, I don't think. But it was real.
Admission
was real cute.
Proper.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, my love. I miss you.
I know. I miss you. We'll get a date on the Cal to come over.
Fierce. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.